if nothing else, that should get you out on a Saturday night, right? A free barbecue. So come. Oh, yeah. Well, Perry, you already signed up. Perry's told me earlier that he was going to come. At least I think you told me that you were going to come. Oh, you said he needed to come. Might be slightly different thing, but now you're on record, Perry, that you need to come, you should come. Let's say you will come and enjoy the free barbecue, as well as anyone else that would like to join us, join in on the free barbecue. You'll hear some vision. We've invited some other partners that we have in ministry, but it really is going to be a focus on restoration by proclaiming original design, proclaiming who we are in Christ. And yeah, that's going to be cool. And yeah, no, you don't have to sign up. Just show up. 6:30 Saturday here in the fellowship hall. Dennis, am I missing anything? I think that's it. I saw him squirreling away a whole bunch of chicken and stuff to barbecue. So we should have. Okay. So thank you, Perry, for keeping me on task here. I started talking about food and I get off on this trail. So, all right. Yes, we have men's breakfast at new time, 9:30 in the morning. Seems like we're going on the half hours now instead of the hours. So the ladies aren't meeting this Saturday. Guys only, 9:30. They will go out on an outreach. And so guys, you might as well just plan on being here all day because we have the restoration station in the evening. And yeah, in the breaks in between, I don't know what we'll do. We'll figure something out. But that's the main thrust of the announcements that I wanted to remind us of. Thursday Night Crew, you guys are awesome. So with that, Pastor Michael, come on up. Bless you, brother.
Okay. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's hear a loud amen for Restoration Station. Amen. Oh, man, that's it? Okay. Loud amen for the Restoration Station. Yeah. Amen. That's bad. Much, much better. Okay. Let's see. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Can we do it one more time? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen, amen. Amen. We are up to the 15th chapter in Romans. I can't believe we went so fast. You know, normally, if you want to cover the entire material in Book of Romans, I'll say 52 weeks will not be enough because there are a lot. And we really barely covered a lot of different subjects and basically what it is about, you know, is sin and about the Gospels, about, you know, really enormous and wonderful plan of salvation. And we really took another look of what kind of salvation is what we have. And we have not just great salvation, we have great salvation, right? I mean, awesome salvation. And you can't really from the puny minds of men. You can't come up with this stuff. Yeah. You really can't. You know, I mean, it is the plan of God that started from the eternity past to sacrifice his own son on the cross. I mean, who plans that? What kind of, would you plan your own son to be sacrificed? I mean, it's crazy, even notion of it. It wouldn't even think about it in any storybook, but it was a plan of God. And he knew that we would need, and we would be hopeless, we would be helpless without direct intervention of God. And because of that, we are eternally grateful. And whenever we take a look at the Romans, and really I just come back to this, and it just touches me in a very, very different way. And on chapter 15, it really, let's just read it. Let's read it for the first 13 verses. I was given 12, but the section covers up to 13, so I'm just going to read it to 13. We, then, who are strong, okay. Is anybody upstairs? Okay. We then who are strong ought to bear with scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always the purpose of God for the glory, ultimate glory. And we'll cover that in just a minute. Glorify God together. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the Father, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him. It means praise him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a portion of this scripture. It's wonderful. We are still talking about pretty similar subject matter from the chapter 14. And if you can see, it starts from, you can probably get an idea of what Apostle Paul is trying to come across to us under the inspiration of Holy Spirit, mind you. This is what God is trying to tell us, right? God is trying to tell us through the mouth of Paul that we need to be united. We need to be there should be unity. And this is the minds of God. This is the heart of God, that the unity beyond church and each and every one of us. You know, and it is very important. All right. So the unity chapter, you know, is from the chapter 14, and it says not to judge others. And I just want to let me just cover just a little bit on the chapter 14 of Romans. You know, these days we can have everything in a phone, right? So, and it used to be, you know, we have like Bible, and then we have to go, you know, flip the page. Anyway, the chapter 14, it says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who weak is weak eats only vegetables, not him who eats, despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge, and so on and so forth. You know, this is, Paul is saying, right, you shouldn't be judging other people. You should receive them. And it's really talking about unity. There is a potential problem between weak and strong Christians. And when strong Christians, like when we, especially our church, we understand freedom. We understand walking in freedom really means a lot, and living in freedom, it's a lot. But what about the people who does not understand that? If you don't understand, you're Christian, you just accept the Lord, but being free in Christ, it really takes, I don't want to say education, but it takes enlightenment. It takes leading some of the stronger Christians to lead weaker Christians to, hey, this is how you walk in freedom. I know I used to be like that. Anyway, the restoration station is similar to that. You know, I don't think people who's walking in freedom, walk in recovery, or people who, let me just speak for myself. Just because I don't do drugs anymore doesn't mean I can, brag about it. Doesn't mean, hey, I don't do drug anymore, you silly people, You still on drug? Shame on you. I don't do that. We don't do that, right? That's not the attitude. That's not the heart that we have. Only the difference between myself and the people who are using drug is I just walk to the road of the recovery a little earlier than they did. So I stand as a guide. Hey, this worked for me. This worked for me. I walked this way, and be careful, there's a stone over there that you might fall and stumble, right? Be careful, there's this trap. So I'm there to sort of like guide them through the road, right? So that they can have a really smoother and better walk with Christ. And freedom means, I think, it's a similar thing. It's a similar thing. Just because you accepted Jesus Christ 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and you understand how this stuff works, doesn't mean you can just ridicule or make fun of things that people just, who doesn't know things that you might know, right? So it is the spirit of strong and weak Christian. The conflict is what we need to think about today. It was God's intention for Jews and Gentiles to be one. Did you know that? From the eternity past, God wanted Jews and Gentiles to be one, entire nations to be one. John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, this is Jesus talking, and my sheep knows me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Who are they? I have other sheep. What is that? I have other sheep. What's that? Gentiles. All right. Gentiles. They are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. It says, Jesus speaking, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be what? One flock and one shepherd. Right? It is the intention of Jesus, the intention of God. Ultimately, it says all people who are redeemed will be the people under God. New heavens and new earth, when we get to heaven, there will be no black, I promise you. There will be no Asian, there will be no yellow, black, beautiful thing is we might have a six packs and a perfect body, all that. All right, I just had to put that in. Perfect body, and we'll be one race. One race under God. Right? And this is this different color, different look. This is just a practice. Yeah. Practice of unity. How we get along with each other in this world. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember Ephesians, the first three chapters, it talks about who we are, right? And from next three, Paul is talking about how we should apply that principle in real life. Real life application is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this is, I like this word, endeavoring. Endeavoring. In other words, you should really endeavor. You should really add it. If it is natural, why would Paul need to talk about it? It's not natural. It's not natural. It's easier to reject people that it is different to you. It is, I just noticed when I come to the United States back in the 70s, you know, and I remember on the airplane, this stewardess with the blonde hair with blue eyes about that big, as far as my memory, I was like 16, you know, and she's looking at me, what can I help you? I have no idea what she just said. I supposedly studied English for like 3 or 4 years, right? And I should understand it, but I didn't understand what she was saying. And all I remember was her eyes and just, well, and I just remember looking, that looked like a Barbie doll or some kind of doll, you know, you lay down and close your eyes and then you lift it up and opens it. That's the way, that's what reminded me of. And whatever she said, she looked so different. She looked so different. She didn't look human to me, you know? And living in the United States, and constantly being compared to and going to the high school, and they were laughing behind me, and when I walked by the group of people, they were, all of a sudden, they are quiet, and then if I walk a few more steps, and they burst out laughing, and you know, those things. I don't know why they did what they did, but discriminations and the differences, it's there, right? It's there. It's illegal, however, it's natural to reject what's different to you. So we need to endeavor. Your natural instinct would be rejecting things that are different to you. Different. Excuse me. Just fell off. All right, am I on? All right, that's good. All right. Where was I? All right, endeavor. So endeavoring is, I mean, trying to, because Korean, I used to be so hurtful by the fact that I'm getting some discrimination in the United States because I look, you know, Asian, and there are these people, I don't understand what they're saying. I didn't speak English very well, and this tall, I remember this tall high school kid and just sat in front of me and writing a bunch of stuff and asked me to write. Just read what he just wrote down, and I just said, "Mary Jana." You know, he was writing marijuana, and I just, since you know that there was J there, I just wrote it, pronounced it Mary Jana, and then he was just burst out laughing. He was giggling. It was the funniest thing that I'd ever, you know, the things that he, it was hurtful to me. It was hurtful to me. However, now I'm thinking back, he wanted to do that because I look different. It's a natural thing. It's a natural thing. So, in other words, instead of rejecting what is different from us, we should think about it. We should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this Freedom River is a wonderful place to practice at it because there's not a one race. We have Korean, we have a Hispanic, we have a Black, we have, you know, we do have some white. And we have all this different race, and we have perfect unity of harmony here, and we can do this. We love each other, and we just endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It is the primary duty of that the Spirit of God is, you know, telling us to keep the unity, one body, one Spirit. So with that thought, believe it or not, this was an introduction. Verse 1, it says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." You might think, all right, just a thought. You might think, oh, when he's going to finish all 13 verses, it's going to take forever. No, I'm just going to cover a few things, right? And you're going to get to the point. It says, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruple. So now, thing is, why do we need to keep the unity? And I think this chapter 15 shows us a process, the reason and why and how, showing us that. Verse, we then who are strong, Paul calls himself strong, and it is a responsibility of these people. So, who are the strong? People who understands what Christian freedom truly is. If you really understand it, then you are a strong person. You know, if you don't understand it, then if you're still bound by, oh, pastor, they used to, Korean church, I used to get questions like, pastor so-and-so is a deacon and he doesn't tithe. How do you know that? Well, his name is not appearing on the bulletin. Well, he may give anonymously, you know. Why are you talking about him giving? Do you give tithe? And then I went, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You know, and always, it's always a sensitive subject, but you know, people are always comparing themselves with each other. But you know, when you do that with those people, immediate what I just said is the thoughts coming into my mind. I don't actually said it, you know, but what do I do? I said, oh, I understand. You just kind of embrace it very softly and trying to understand where this person is coming from. To him, a deacon or the leadership, if they don't show up in a Sunday service or, you know, he's a leader, he misses a Sunday? Shame on him. If he comes from that perspective, instead of fighting back with words, you know, just try to be understandable, right? Try to understanding, and maybe something happened, maybe daughter got sick, you know? What would you do? Things that never happened to you. You know what happened today? I was hurrying to get to the church and prepare everything. We usually close the store, lock it, and all of us get in the car, and then we go home and I drop my mother-in-law off, and then comes to church. And then when we get to my home, and I receive the phone call and voice message, it says, you know, it's really strange because your store, your lights are all off and your door's open. Door's open. And I went in there and then I make sure that nobody got a heart attack and then all the dogs are still over there, including cute puppies. I didn't lock the door. I didn't lock the door. We left the door open. I mean, things like that happen, right? So we have to go back and close it, and I thank her, thank the person, of course. But things like that happen in life. So instead of jump into somebody's throat, then you should be always trying to endeavor to keep yourself from understanding perspective, right? Understanding perspective, right? And that's a strong person who understands what freedom truly is. Strong person does not condemn, does not, nor abuses the freedom. A weak believer doesn't know that, so it feels offended if the law is violated or certain date is not kept, or, you know, that I just mentioned. Verse 1, here's the thing. Who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves. So I just want to focus a couple things. One is ought. And I've looked at this verse in Greek, and Ophilomen is what it says here. Ophilomen is the actually first word appear in the 15th chapter of Romans. It's the first word. Remember Romans 12, what the first word was? It's parakletos is the first word. It means I beg you. That's the first word coming to the chapter 12 of Romans. So beseeching, begging us to present our body as a living sacrifice, right? But the word begging is the very first word appearing on that chapter. So it is important for God, what is the most important thing that he's trying to get us, is begging us. He's Holy Spirit of God is asking us, begging us, beseeching us to present our body as a living sacrifice. You get it? So that first word is very important. And chapter 15 is of Philemon. It means debt. It's binding. So in other words, you ought to do this. You are bound. You're bound, right? You are like becoming like debtor to this, right? You need to do this. You must do this. It's a strong word. Strong word. So ought to bear. Another Greek word, all right? Excuse me for giving you so much Greek word, but it kind of touches me, so I just want to explain what blessing that I received was. Ought to bear, bastazin, it's from the bastizo. So what that means is to lift up, take up, carry. It was used 27 times in the New Testament. So if it's used that much, I thought it's worthy of looking into, see where was it used. It says, we ought to bear this. God is saying in chapter 15 of Romans, you ought to bear this. You ought to bear this. And telling us to do this. So what does it really mean? How was it used? And I found Matthew 8:17 that it says like this, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah and prophet, is Isaiah 53. So it says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. When Matthew was quoting, using that Isaiah 53, he was using, he took our infirmities, was elaban, means lambano, receiving it, and bore our sicknesses as bastesian. So that is bastizo. That is bearing our sicknesses. So Jesus received our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. If that doesn't bless you, I don't know what will. Amen. And I was just thinking about this verse, and it really blessed my heart, because Jesus actually received my infirmities. Received. He just received. Lambano, received. And he bore the sicknesses. He lift. So that's what it means. And another one here, it's Acts 3:2. It says, uncertain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. You know, the people carried from in front of the gate, beautiful gate, and he took this man out and put it in front of the beautiful gate and making him beg other people, right? That's the boring. That's the bearing. You know, same word was used to when the guys were bearing this paralytic man and brought him to the roof and opened up the roof and brought him down in front of Jesus. That's bearing. So we need to really think about this word bear, that Jesus is saying we need to bear this. We bear the burden. You know, it is interesting. Last week, Pastor Dennis talked about Galatians 6, right? Like, we need to bear each other's burden. That's the same word. This is the word, bastizo. Bear each other's burden. That's the word. So, and it's not a tolerance. It's not being patient. It means get under. It means get under and lift. Like the word understanding. In order to understand someone, you need to get under there. You see? Get under there. Get under his circumstances and situations. Then you can understand what it is all about. All right, so when we did Galatians 5, we did this. Remember through the love and serve others? Agape, right? The true love. We just did this a couple weeks ago, so you should remember this, I think. Anyway, since and we would not, if you have a true love, we would not hurt somebody we love. Remember this? I just wanted to just do it really quickly so that I can remind you. The law could not do this. We could not live in this freedom, but now we can choose to do the right things. Amen. Right? It is the life that we can finally just not let it happen. Not just by, I couldn't help it, but just love. No, we choose to love. Amen. Right? We choose to bear one another's burden. We choose, you know, Pastor Dennis is not, I don't think he has really nothing else to do and just so bored, and he decided to serve on Thursdays and Tuesday and Wednesday and Saturday, all because he has nothing else to do. And he's not, he can't, you know, he doesn't want to get a job or, you know, nothing like that. It's nothing like that. But what is it? He choose to serve. That's what this means. Through the love, right? Agape, through the love, serve one another. Duleute, servant, doulos, servant, serving one another. Why? Because you choose to do this. Amen. Choose to do this. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
I'm not making it too difficult, right? Okay. All right. It's not people pleasing. Please understand that. It's not, when he says please other people, it's not a people pleasing. But it's a free of unloading, you know, burden. Let me just say this. Your mom loved you, right? And I remember my mom used to pray like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I think I shared one time. And when I was 7 and I went to Korean swimming pool, I remember being fun, right? I don't remember being dirty, but however, I do remember some human, you might lose your appetite, but, you know, stools floating under the water. I remember seeing that. And when I came back from the swimming pool, my ears got infected, and then I was having a lot of pain. But I remember I wake up one night because of the water drop on my face, and it wasn't water drop, it was my mom praying over me, just rubbing my head, and she pan fried the rock salt and put it, wrapped it around the a towel and put it against my ear so that soothed my ear, you know, so that I can go to sleep. I was sleeping, I was able to sleep, but I remember that. I remember her and just praying, Lord, please help Michael and heal in the name of Jesus. And I prayed that you'll take his pain away. I'd rather take this pain. And she's crying. She's crying and praying over her son, right? And I remember being so moved by that prayer. I was 7, right? But how do you pay that kind of love back? Can you pay that back? She's not here, right, by the way. She's with the Lord. But how do you pay love like that back? When you have debt of love, it cannot be paid back. It cannot be. Right? So it is like, it's the same thing as a prayer. So instead of being judgmental, be considerate and try to bear each other's burden. And verse 1b, it says, not to please ourselves, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading edifications. John 8:29, the one who sent me is with me, he has not left me alone, so I always do what pleases him. So what Jesus is saying, because I always please Father, so he's not pleasing himself, he never did that, he's always pleasing Father. So for even Christ did not please himself. This animation is all off. Okay, our entire life, you know, we need to really understand this. What I'm saying is this supposed to be showing one at a time, but it's not, but it's okay. we really need to understand this. Are we concerned for other people? Or are we concerned to be like Jesus? What is your concern lies in? Yeah. When you when you're going through the cares of this world, for a while, all my care was being clean. For a while, the number of years, my care, my focus, my goal was quitting cigarette, quitting drugging, and it just, everything was all about me for a long time. I just focused myself. And that's the way my life was. You know, and I lived like that. But soon or later, when I stopped drugging, when I stopped smoking, and my focus shift from me began to shift to other people. And I began to pray for other people. I began to see other people have similar concern and a problem that as I did. And I began to talk with them. And I began to involve in the ministry and being involved praying for them. And really give me a great joy and happiness. Right? And I began to understand, well, this is maybe this is what God called me to be. And understanding, calling, and the mission for life, right? And it is the next step. And it's not about you. It's about pleasing other people. Hey, you know, it's pleasing other. It doesn't mean I'm a people pleaser. It's a very different things. People pleaser is thinking about that is the focus, pleasing other people. No, that's not my focus. I try to please other people. However, it's not my focus. What's my focus? It's really pleasing God. That's the focus, right? That's the focus. Apostle followed Jesus, leaving everything behind with many reasons. But following Christ, right, means to be like him. What did he do? You know, and he prayed in the morning. Some people ask me, why are we meeting at 6 a.m.? I mean, it should be illegal to meet, to wake up that early. But because Jesus rose up early, so we try to imitate him, and we found out there's a lot of benefits, because when that spiritual activity is really stronger in the morning. All right, it's not what I want to do, it's what he wants. And now we talk about goal, right? It's being imitator of Christ. It appears so many, it appears in Ephesians. Imitator of Christ, be like Jesus is really our goal, right? 1 Corinthians 9, let me read you this, right? 1 Corinthians 9, Paul's, this is what he says. This is how he used his freedom. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. Isn't that a great statement? I have made a slave myself for everyone. With to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like Jew. To win like win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like the one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but under the Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. I think it says really clearly on what he's thinking about freedom really means. What is goal? To please God, right? To win other people. To get them to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. To really understand the freedom. So, verse 5, it says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is important, receiving one another. I mean, anything should be so vividly important because Apostle Paul is talking about this unity from chapter 14 and going to chapter 15. Right? I mean, two chapters he's talking about unity. You ought to think that's important, right? If you say, Jesus say, I verily, verily I say unto you. You think that's a little bit important? I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, the Son of God, one of the triune God is saying, verily, verily I say unto you, love one another. It should be important. Very, very important. Okay? Glorify together. Therefore, the receive one another. Now, we just read this, so I'm just want to give you this summary, and we're going to talk about that. This is it, the last slide. Just want a summary. All right, we must take up and carry the burdens of the weak believers. Amen? Is that correct? All right, we use Philemon, with Bastizo, right? It is a Greek word. However, this lifting and carrying one another's burden, like Jesus carried the burden. Like Jesus carried our infirmities, our sickness. You ought to think about that. Then we need to do the same thing. How are we going to carry others' burden like Jesus did? When somebody's sick, I'm sick. You know, it is interesting to some people, when Lord heals somebody, let's say, from cancer, right? It's very, very often you see the same Christians want to pray for the people who have cancer. Why is that? Because Lord saved him from the cancer. He gave him same burden, right? So that person start to visit people with a cancer. Hey, Lord, save me from cancer. Why am I here doing the restoration station? Because I walk through that road. I know how difficult it is. But, here's the kicker. I went through it. I am no longer a drug addict. I am no longer labeled by that. Right? I am free. Right? I am free. That's the primary reason why we are doing this restoration station. We want to just take your hands and just, you know, instead of being fooled by the lies of the world, saying just trying to label you, you're the black sheep, you're a loser, you're always going to do, you're never going to amount to anything. You know, all these curses, even parents are telling their children, I really don't understand that. But I want to speak faith. I want to speak freedom. I want to speak really a glorious future ahead, amen. Right? Woo. That they understand that they have a road to go to. All you got to do is take up your mantle and just follow, right? Follow us. Then we can walk this road together. Amen. That's carrying the burden, right? That's bastizo. I think if you don't remember anything, remember that word, bastizo. Bastizo, verse 1, right? You ought to bear one another's. You ought to bear that. Bastizo. Ought to. You must do this. And because, why? Because Jesus Christ did not please him. Because he did that. Because we are the imitator of Christ. Amen. And also, it is not about us, right? It is not about certain men to be on the pedestal and give. It's not if we are successful. Not you know, if you don't want to glorify Pastor John. Excuse me, Pastor John. And if, you know, he's a wonderful pastor. However, we don't want to put men for the glory. We give all the glory to the Lord. He will be and need to be, must be our goal. To glorify God. That should be our goal. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the amazing portion of the scriptures that are telling us. Bastizo. That Jesus carried our burdens, our infirmities, our sickness. He received our infirmities into him and be crucified. So there is no more sickness for us. But each day we are being fooled by the enemies, telling us this infirmities, this weakness belongs to us. But in the name of Jesus, I proclaim, these weaknesses and these infirmities, these addictions, doesn't belong to us. It has been crucified with Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the fact, amazing fact. We want to live our life to glorify you. And with that, we want to carry each other's burden. We want to be the guide, be a strong Christian as you want us to be. Help us, Holy Spirit, come, teach us, guide our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless you.